After Jesus had spoken these words to his disciples, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and the children may come forward for a children's sermon. Good morning. How are you? Good, tired, and okay. There you go. Today is the seventh Sunday of Easter. You guys remember Easter? Like way back there, right? We've been celebrating Easter every Sunday since. Well, truly, every single Sunday we ever get together is a way that we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead. We have a whole big long season to celebrate Easter. A few days ago on Thursday, we celebrated Jesus ascending into heaven, which is a big word for going up into heaven, right? We even have a picture of it back there on the wall. Can you see that? You can stand if you need to. So way back there, that corner, you can see Jesus, and he's got some clouds around his head. That's to tell you that he's real high up. And if you look at his feet, they're not touching the ground. So that's how you know he's going up in the air too. And so Jesus ascends into heaven, and he lives with God, his Father, forever. And then, next week, we're going to celebrate Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit comes to us and literally puts a fire in our hearts for living the way that God would have us live. But right now, we're in between. We're in between Jesus going up into heaven and the Holy Spirit coming down. We're in between. Have you guys ever felt in between two things that are really good? I want you to think about Christmas. Do you like Christmas? I want you to think about New Year's. Do you like New Year's? Kind of. You're probably not staying up super late yet, but yeah, kind of. What's the week like in between that? There's no school usually. Sometimes there's not even a lot of order. It's just kind of days in between, right? Here's another one for you. Have you ever had to wait for dessert? Yeah, okay, that one landed. Yeah. Yeah. So you can have a real good dinner, and you know dessert's coming, but you got to wait for a little bit, right? Right now, we're waiting. We're in between. We know that something good's going to come. We know that God's got something good in store. But we just don't know when it's going to arrive, when it's going to come around the corner. We not only have an in-between time inside the church between the seventh Sunday of Easter and Pentecost, we have in-between times in our lives all the time, where we know that God has good things in store. We know that God's going to do wonderful things, but we just don't always know when they're going to happen. It's like waiting for dessert. You just don't know when that good thing's coming around the corner. So, this week, I want you to pay attention to all the times you have to wait, all the times you are in between. It's easy to get antsy and fussy and not know what to do, but I want you to hope and to trust that good things are coming and coming around the corner soon. God doesn't leave you, and God doesn't leave you alone for long. Does that make sense? Should we say a prayer? Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for being with us in between the times. Thank you for the good things that we look forward to, from dessert to all kinds of things in our lives. And thank you for being one that walks with us each step of the way. As you walk with us, help us to have hope and help us to keep moving forward till that good thing comes round the corner. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for being here, guys. You can go back to your seats. In the name of Jesus, amen. The Gospel of John tends to be a little long-winded from time to time. Where we have very short Gospels, John takes good time, right time, to fill in all the details, to share all the experiences of Jesus that the Gospel of John finds pertinent. And while that is good, when we get into this final part of Jesus' prayer that he's praying before the night in which he was betrayed, a little hard to follow. I don't know if any of you have ever or remember ever mapping out sentences in English class. These are nightmares. Where does one part begin and the other one end? But all the way at the end of this, Jesus boils down his point so that we can understand what he's talking about ahead of time. Jesus' prayer for his disciples in the midst of a new commandment of love, in the midst of an announcement of peace, in the midst of all of his care for the ones that God has given to him. God, Jesus' final words of this prayer are that we might be one as God is one. A prayer for unity, a prayer for one, a prayer for peace. To be sure, his disciples are going to start the enactment of this prayer by scattering. They're going to run. They're going to go every which way in the garden. Some of them are going to hide. Some of them are going to deny. Some of them are going to go right and left and who knows which way. And the thing that brings them back together in the upper room on the day of resurrection is not a great faith and hope, but actually a great fear that locks them inside of this room. The thing that sends them out again is an unknown experience of Jesus' resurrection. We find them on the beach and we find them seeing Jesus out in Galilee, and we find them all over the place. One final time, as we heard in the first reading, they are gathered together to see Jesus ascend into heaven. And Luke, who is the writer of Acts, takes time to write down each person that was there. These are their names. These are the women that were with them. These are the brothers too. Because here's a moment where we start to see this prayer finally coming about. They are together. They might not be one, but they're together. They're not running anymore. They're praying. They're staying. They're pointed in the right direction. Something is about to happen. We can feel it. And yet, they're not quite there yet. This in-between time between Jesus' ascension and Pentecost, I think, is often overlooked. It's overlooked because we want to just keep moving on to the next thing, but I think it's often overlooked because we all understand the in-between times too well. It doesn't take a lot of preaching for us to understand living in between what is good and what is good. It's not a whole lot of preaching that needs to happen for us to understand living between what is rough and what is smooth. You know this, don't you? The in-between times. The times when things aren't quite settled, aren't quite finished, aren't quite complete, aren't quite on the track, aren't quite what they ought to be. We have a God that understands the in-between times and, in fact, thrives in it. In the beginning, the earth was a shapeless, formless void, and God swept over the waters, and God began to speak. In between whatever created the waters, however they were created, in between the beginning and where the beginning of Genesis starts, in between all that's before and our understanding, God begins to create light and to create life and to create order. And it takes a while, but eventually we get to something good. And again, in the garden, when there is an almost understanding of who they are and they bite the apple, now, in between time, in between one tree of the Garden of Eden and the next tree that we hear in the book of Revelation, between the trees of good for all the nations, between the trees of life forevermore, between the trees of death and resurrection, between the trees, God continues to create and to shape and to mold. On Good Friday, I had the wonderful experience of the washer breaking. And so I took it apart because I wanted to see what was going on. And you learn a lot. And when Kristen asked me, how's it going? So I took a few pictures, and she was terrified because the washer was all over. Now, it did get back together, but we were very much in between. In between gets very messy. In between can get unclear. In between has this process of letting go how you hoped the experience would be and beginning to embrace what the experience actually is. In between is the time of transformation, of creation, of reformation, of all the shuns that we talk about in church. In between is where the process of being brought from death into life in our baptisms happens. In between is where the gospel is preached and proclaimed. In between is where everybody was when Jesus went from town to town healing and sharing the good news. In between is exactly where the seed of the gospel is planted, exactly where the water of baptism is poured, exactly where the Son of God gives growth, exactly where this faith of ours comes to fruition. In between, we are invited to take our eyes away from the high places to take our eyes away from the mountaintops and to look at right where we are in between. There is a God that walks in the valleys with us too. There is a God that walks with us each day of our lives. There is a God that works masterfully, wonderfully in between. And so on this day, not quite Pentecost, leaving Easter in our rearview mirror, we worship a God that knows us, loves us, thrives in between. And know that in your lives, in your in-between, God will be there too. Thanks be to God for the one who works wonders in between. Amen.